Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One Another. The date today is the 4th of September 2009 and the time is 12:20 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
Okay, I'm Sharon Wheeler, I'm 46 and I come from Cheltenham in Gloucestershire.
And how are you today?
I'm okay, I'm excited now. I was nervous this morning but I'm now, it's happening.
Good stuff. Can I ask, first of all, what was it that motivated you to put yourself forward to take part in this project?
Okay, well, I'm a journalist, so I've been following the press coverage of it and thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. I'm absolutely not an artist, I'm not a visual person, although I'm kind of an admirer of Anthony Gormley's work. And I thought, oh, it'd be really interesting to see what a sort of writer could get out of that occasion. So that partly motivated me to see what I would actually do with... with the air up there, whereas I wouldn't be very good at kind of creating, something visual. So it was almost a challenge for me to see what I could do with the time.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide to spend that time?
Well, I had lots of plans, which my family and friends taught me how to sing Pogue songs for an hour. I thought that might be quite entertaining, but sadly I have a lousy singing voice and I think it would upset most of London. So I then went on to the sort of sensible thinking, okay, can I create something? No, I can't. And then thinking, okay, how can I make best use of the hour? So I'd started researching several sort of, I don't want to sound too worthy, but several kind of causes or campaigns I was interested in. And then thinking, okay, I write for a living, so I need to, I'm not the story, but the occasion's the story, so what can I get out of it for producing blog entries or features or, Twitter posts, things like that. So again, it was a challenge to see what you could cover in the hour.
So what did you decide to do on the plinth and what did you decide to cover?
In the end, I've probably gone for two things. To start off with, I got very interested as I was researching into... I was horrified to discover how many journalists had been killed worldwide kind of doing their jobs, and some were accidents but a lot were kind of people murdered in pursuit of a story, or they'd upset drugs barons or kind of corrupt officials. And I discovered rather depressing that 109 people had died last year and that 50 is the running total for this year, and again most of them murders rather than accidental deaths. And I talked to kind of colleagues and other people, thought actually that's something that really deserves some publicity. A lot of people don't know that, so that's one thing I wanted to try to kind of mark the people who had been killed doing their job. So I don't know how long of the hour that will take, but once that's done I've got my writing journal with me and I just thought I'm going to write. I blog weekly, so I want to have a blog entry out of it. I want to write a feature and I hope the local paper will be interested in it, so I won't be bored.
How are you going to raise the issue of the journalists being murdered in pursuit of their story on the plinth?
Okay, what I'd done, I'd fiddled around for a while. I've got little kind of cards covered with sort of shiny plastic where I've got each person's name and where they came from on, which I haven't come up with an ideal way to display it. I'd got a mad idea to start with. I gutted an umbrella to see if I could kind of hang it from, the spines of the umbrella, but it was too heavy. I've done it on little tiny computer discs. And in the end, I think the camera will pick it up. I'm just going to kind of probably end up laying them around me in a circle or something. It's not ideal, but it's probably the best way to do it.
Okay. And can I ask you about your journalism? And what you normally choose to write about?
Okay, my background is actually sports journalism. I used to be a rugby writer, and I've done a lot of feature writing. I've just written a book on feature writing. I also lecture journalism in the University of Gloucestershire, so I kind of teach students as well as writing it myself. It's fairly varied. I review a website, I write for a music magazine, so I do lots of different types of writing. So I think one of the things that appealed to me was the idea of thinking, okay, I'm quite a sort of a journey woman hack, if you know what I mean. I do lots of things as to how much copy you could produce from one occasion.
And How are you feeling about standing on the plinth now that you're actually here and it's really happening?
Well, I'm quite keyed up now. The one thing that's making me slightly nervous, I don't think I'm... Last time I went up somewhere high, I went up in the London Eye some years ago and spent most time going... and looking, kind of not looking down. I'm slightly worried because the first time I turned on the webcam, it was one of these weird coincidences. It was a friend of a friend on there who got vertigo. And was kind of lying on his side, you know, because he was too frightened to stand up. And I'm thinking, oh hell, I hope that doesn't happen to me. So I'm just concerned about getting up there and not kind of go and freezing. So that's my one concern. But I,
have you got vertigo then?
I hope I haven't. I don't much like, you know, when I've gone up high things, like I went around the Warwick Kew Gardens a little while ago and thought it was horrible. You know, didn't much like the London Eye. So I think it's just. Take a deep breath and be brave.
You mentioned that you have a blog. Would you like to say the address of it for if anybody...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, it's good. it's actually a crime fiction related one. There's a team of us who blog on it. It's the idea was from kind of idea to bookshelf. So there's a writer, an agent, me as a reviewer, a publisher, a bookseller, a PR person, and it's called Hey, There's a Dead Guy in the Living Room. Which wasn't my idea, but is actually quite a memorable title. And the address is, it's heydeadguy.wordpad.com, I think. But the Hey Dead Guy in a search engine brings it up. So.
Okay. And then how did you get into journalism?
Oh, well, I was one of these strange people who knew what I wanted to do from about the age of 8 or 10. So I've always wanted to do journalism. I'd always wanted to be a sports journalist. So I spent several years covering rugby in the West Country, which was fabulous, being paid to watch Bristol and Bath and Gloucester. That was great. And then I then went into teaching journalism at universities as well, which is great because it allowed me to... I like teaching and I also like, you know, being able to write and do other things. So I've ended up with a great compromise.
Fantastic. Where do you predominantly write now? Is it the blog?
It's mainly online. I edit a website called reviewingtheevidence.com, which is an independent crime fiction site. It's actually a colossal site. It's a database of reviews. There's about 7,000 or 8,000 reviews archived, and we've got reviewers in America, Canada, Britain, Australia. So it's kind of a really busy site. That's great because it means it means I'm kind of reviewing and editing. I also write for a music magazine which used to be called Rock and Reel but is now called R2, a sort of roots and world music magazine. That's great fun. So.
Interesting. And you mentioned that you've just written a book. Mm. Would you like to say a little bit about the book?
Oh yeah. It's called Feature Writing for Journalists. It's part of an academic sort of how to do series for Routledge. It was a great experience because I'm used to kind of working, you know, doing short, sharp pieces to deadlines. So suddenly being asked to produce an 80,000-word book was a bit of a shock to the system. But it was good fun to do because I was able to do, you know, talk to working journalists and do case studies and get them to talk through how they approached a story or how they got started or why they wanted to do what they did. So it was a mix of, you know, sort of suggesting how, if you were a beginner, how you would, you know, learn to write features, and you know, here's some professionals, this is how they do it.
Fantastic. Yeah. And where do you plan to go next, or have you got your sights on any particular task or story in the future?
I'm actually about to start a PhD, which I'm rather excited about. A modern drama one, for reasons that are too complicated to explain. That's my other big interest, drama. So I'm about to start one on modern drama, which I'm very, very excited about because that's a completely different departure for me. I feel at the moment I've got a kind of good mix of writing, some academic study, I've got a contract for another book, a book to write, and then, you know, doing my teaching as well. So I feel very busy at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it like being a sports journalist as a woman? Did you find that you were in a minority?
I was at the time, because this was sort of late 80s, where it was very unusual. I covered rugby. I mean, I was quite lucky. I think it was, I'm reasonably sort of, you know, the kind of person who politely doesn't take no for an answer. So if anybody tried any funny business, I was kind of politely firm back and, no, actually, I'm not going away, I'm staying. But the players were great. I got very good cooperation from them. It was occasionally odd things from other reporters made slightly odd comments for a while, or had a couple of incidents with pompous committee men. But it was great. It was fun being paid to kind of go around and cover rugby. And at the time, it was quite unusual. There weren't that many women covering sport. I mean, it's still not great now, sadly. But interesting enough, the course I teach on, a lot of people come on there wanting to be sports journalists, and it's great when women students come on to say, "I want to be a sports journalist." And great, really encourage them. So.
And how do you enjoy teaching?
I really like it because it's with journalism courses, you tend to get students who want to be there. They're very inquisitive. They write they maybe blog, or they write for music sites or do stuff. So I like it. It's a mix of kind of saying to students, well, here's how you do it, but let's also talk about why you do it as well. That you can train somebody to be a journalist in a very short time, but if you've got them on a degree course for 3 years, you need to talk to them more about why you do things, about ethics and history and stuff like that. So it's a kind of media and journalism degrees have often had a bad press, but unfairly, because they produce very good students who can write, work to deadline, good on teamwork. So I think it's for 25 years ago or whatever, I'd happily have done a journalism degree if there'd been one available.
And how's your work-life balance? Because it sounds like you've got a lot of fingers in a lot of different pies, so to speak.
Yeah, I suppose. Come on, that's a good question. just make it sound like I'm a sad so-and-so with no life apart from my writing. I suppose I really like writing, so I find instinctively I often do write in the evenings or write at weekends because I really like doing it. One of the things I'm kind of thinking I might try tonight is I've never written fiction. I don't have a novel waiting to get out, I don't think. But a colleague who's a playwright said it would be really good fun to try to write some, see if you can write, a one-act play or, try a short story. So I'm thinking, I'll see how the time goes, but I'd like to see if it would be possible to, be inspired for some fiction from it as well. New challenge for me.
Fantastic. You're teaching at the University of Gloucester. Is that where you're based now, then, in Gloucester?
Yes. Yes. It's in Cheltenham. The university's got three. It's got several campuses. It's got three in Cheltenham and one in Gloucester. But yeah, I'm based in Cheltenham.
And is that where you're from originally?
I'm actually from the Midlands. A long time ago, no accent anymore. But I went to school in Cheltenham, and then moved away to work, and rather surprisingly, ended up coming back quite some years later.
Would you like to say a little bit about your your life prior to your career, your upbringing, perhaps?
Oh yeah, I mean, nothing terribly unusual. I went to a grammar school in Cheltenham. Played a lot of sport, hockey. I played cricket for some years and things like that. I think the kind of only thing that sort of probably coloured my life is I had ME some years ago, which I've never shaken off. So I've kind of had to deal with, wanting to do lots of things and then kind of physically sometimes not being able to do it. So, I don't identify as disabled on the form, but the kind of, it's always at the back of my mind that tomorrow when I get up, will I be absolutely exhausted because I've had a really hyped up day. So I think that's the only thing that sort of, changed my outlook on life.
How do you think it's changed you?
I think it's slowed me down because I'm naturally a very kind of frenetic person who did lots of things and wanted to be involved in as many things as possible. So it was a kind of it was a shock to the system when kind of body said, actually no, sorry, you're not doing that anymore. And I had two sort of two relapses, if you like, which was a bit of a shock to the system, and then it sort of touch wood, it sort of lies dormant, and occasionally, if I overdo it, comes back. So, but it's a kind of frustrating thing. I did think when one of my ideas was, could you draw attention to ME? But I couldn't think of a way to kind of do it without pontificating, which I thought would bore anybody in Trafalgar Square. So, I left that idea on the back burner.
And have you told your friends and family about taking part in
yes.
the project?
Yeah. Most of them thought it was hysterical. My mother thought I was joking, and then when she realised I wasn't joking, said, "You're mad. You're going to fall off and break your neck." So she's still convinced I'm going to fall off and break my neck, so I mustn't do that. But she's very creative, so she was great for kind of bouncing ideas off for what I might want to do with my kind of discs. The friend I brought with me for support is very creative as well, so she'd helped me prepare what I'd done. But everybody I know thinks it's fabulous. I've had some really sweet emails and kind of phone calls from people, and a lot of friends in America and sort of Europe are watching on webcams, so I have to wave to them at the start.
What impact do you hope this sort of your taking part in this will have on you, on your life personally?
I think it's actually, I'm reasonably sort of, somebody who tends to get on with stuff, but I think it's, you know, because of the sort of occasional health wobbles, I think it's a good confidence boost to think, yeah, okay, I can get up there and I can do this. I mean, I'm quite outgoing, I like meeting people, very chatty. So it's kind of, it's good from that, but I think it's also, you know, it just feels very positive thing to do. And I'm also, I mean, what was really encouraging was talking to I got a lot of help from the International Federation of Journalists, and they said, we think it's brilliant, you're drawing attention to this, thank you for doing it. And that felt really good, that they were, you know, they felt that it was a positive thing to be able to, almost do like a tribute to the people who had died. Mm. So.
How do you find being a journalist in the UK? You're operating in a lot of different realms and mediums. Can I ask you to comment on that a little bit?
Well, it made me realise, actually, I suppose, doing research for this, how kind of blasé you probably are as a journalist in the UK, where the worst thing that's ever happened to me is somebody set a dog on me. You know, somebody who didn't like me knocking on their door and set a large bulldog, so you just run away very fast. I'm thinking, actually, this is nothing. It makes you realise that the kind of things you complain about, where somebody slams a phone down on you, was rude to you, or, you know, says something, you know, I'm not another tabloid journalist, that, this is nothing. And I think at the moment, I mean, one of the things I did consider, and if I'd done a daytime slot with more people around, I might have done it. I did wonder about some kind of, I don't know how you would have made it interactive, sort of talking about, how we mustn't lose the press, because at the moment, you know, the industry is just being torn apart by redundancies and things like this. And I think when you see stories like the Telegraph, the amount of time they put into the story on the MP's expenses, you realise that, it's really important that you do have journalists to investigate that somebody, some sort of kid sitting in an office with no training couldn't have done that story. You needed experienced journalists to go through paperwork and really niggle away at people, do the interviews. So I'm a great sort of banner waver for the industry, really. You know, I really firmly believe that, you know, journalism is a positive force and we should protect it. And I think the fact that, you know, local papers are just kind of dying all around is one of the things that depresses me hugely. So.
What does being a journalist mean to you personally?
I think it's just, I've it's something I've always wanted to do, and I've kind of never wavered in that. So I think it's just feeling, somebody who is thinking, you know, people deserve to know what's happening, they deserve to know what's been, it sounds a bit grandiose, and it's been covered up, local papers in particular are just vital from, quite seemingly minor things like publishing your flower show results, but people like to know, people are nosy, they want to know what's going on in their community. And I think the fact that, local offices close and they merge them, people stop buying the paper because they then think, oh, well, that's 20 miles away, I don't know about that town, I'm not interested. And that really worries me that, once the industry settles down and knows where it's going, there's going to be an awful lot of rebuilding or reforming. But I mean, that's why it's interesting talking to students about it. I mean, I started, my first job was in 1985. And you're thinking, crumbs, in 20-odd years, that the industry has just changed hugely. And now we're turning out people who can, write, take photos, work video cameras. You know, they have to multi-skill.
Is there a background of journalism in your family?
No, not at all. No, nobody's ever gone into that. My parents are my mother was a teacher, my dad worked in, local government, so. But they were very keen on encouraging me to write. So, I've got a lot of support. I've always had support from people to go into the, do what I wanted to do.
Do you keep a diary for you, personally?
I keep I have spates of it. I've been trying to do a proper kind of journal type thing where you, it's not so much, got up, went and stood on the plinth, that type of thing. It's sort of trying to, how best describe it, sort of crystallised thoughts as well as what you've actually done. I find it quite difficult because I'm a doer, rather than the sort of, you know, sitting around thinking about it a lot after. But it's been a useful thing for thinking through why you do certain things. I also keep, I mean, the one thing I have brought with me today is my writing journal, which I tend to take everywhere. A kind of good friend who's a colleague who's a playwright, and she never goes anywhere without a writing journal. I thought, oh, great idea. So it's fabulous for kind of scribbling down story ideas or you know, little snippets of information when you get them. So that will go up on the plinth with me.
And then can I ask you to describe yourself? To say a little bit about who you are,
yeah,
as a person.
I'm nosy. I'm a typical journalist. I like meeting people. I like finding out about people. Often find myself saying to people, "Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't meant to sound personal. Don't answer if you don't want to." Realizing that you do. You know, I just really like knowing what makes people tick. I like knowing what's going on. You know, I'm inquisitive. I've got a sort of quite a magpie brain. In that kind of go around, you know, finding little shiny pieces of information and storing them away. This is why I think doing a PhD is going to be a fabulous challenge for me, because I will have to do something in depth rather than, you know, skim the surface of it, which you often do as a journalist. You know a little bit about lots of things, but you don't necessarily know lots about one thing.
Do you have any political alignments?
I'm the kind of person who kind of always votes. And thinks it's really important to vote, and tend to wave my arm saying, you know, people died to give you the vote. if you don't vote. So, I'm a typical journalist who sort of keeps fairly quiet about who they vote for, but I always vote and feel very strongly about quite a lot of, you know, issues.
And what do you think about this project?
I think it's absolutely fabulous. I think it's really exciting. I think that's what sort of energised me to take part, the fact that it was just seeing how creative people would be. I mean, I've absolutely loved watching the webcam, and I've tuned in. My broadband's been down for a fortnight, which has been the worst thing ever, because I was just loving kind of going in at different times thinking, oh, wow, that guy's making bird boxes, that's really cool, or God, that guy salsa dancing is brilliant, and you know, really just enjoying watching what people were doing. And it's been interesting actually monitoring the site with people saying that was a waste of an hour, and I'm thinking, no, the point of it is people do what they want, and if somebody wants to sit on the plinth for an hour and just watch the world go by, that's their choice. And I think that's what, you know, strikes me so fabulous about it, that, you know, I thought there's a lot of obviously very talented artists getting up and doing fabulous, you know, fabulous stuff. And there was somebody in our local paper who I think she was going up last week, who was going to make a rug up there. I'm thinking, wow, brilliant. And thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, people use the hour how they want to. And I think that's what I like, you know, best, the fact that do what you want. Mm.
What's important for you in your life going forwards?
I think just being, you know, kind of being positive and just, you know, doing things and just wanting to kind of keep moving on and keep moving forward, and, you know, not doing the same thing, getting involved in, you know, lots of different projects. I love doing that. So I think that's I have a fear of stagnating.
what kind of projects do you mean, journalistic?
I think journalists, and I mean, again, you know, I'm very hyped up to do this, you know, to do a PhD, because I've it's a while since I kind of studied formally, so it's thinking, actually, this would be a fabulous challenge to do, and it's something that's quite different from my kind of everyday subject area. I'm very interested in theatre, and always have been. I did a little bit of teaching some years ago on an English literature MA, where I taught drama. So this is a great chance. There's a colleague at work who's very well published in the field, who I hope will supervise me. So, you know, working with something like that's going to be great. It's going to be a real, real kind of push for me to do something, you know, academic in depth.
Is there a particular area of modern drama that you've been?
Yeah, I've got a working title, which is War into Peace, British. Starts again. War into Peace, Englishness in British Drama since 1956. So it's looking at playwrights like kind of John Osborne, Arnold Wesker, Harold Brenton, David Edgar, Sarah Kane, people like that. So it's a kind of, it's just like a, you know, historical, social, kind of cultural look, you know, since the 50s.
Fantastic.
Yeah, dead excited about it.
And is that something that's been brewing for a while, you're interested in that?
Yeah, I mean, I did an MPhil about 15, 20 years ago actually when I was working on a newspaper, because I was working nights, which I really liked, but I thought if I don't do something during the day, I'll just end up kind of dossing around in bed till 11 o'clock. So at the time I was trying to decide between doing one on crime fiction, which is obviously a big interest, and then another one on modern drama. And in the end, for the reasonably lame reason that I was at the time living in Wiltshire, working in Bristol, and thinking, oh, I never get to the theatre regularly, I did one on feminist and gay and lesbian crime fiction, which at the time was very kind of new and cutting edge and was a great thing to do. But it was never PhD material. It was fine as a kind of 40,000 word, you know, research project. So that's great. I feel like I kind of covered that, and I would like to move on to the area I didn't work on then. Because my first degree was English literature, so that's why, hence the interest.
And are there any role models out there that you have, do you think, sort of, with all of your kind of interests that you have, is there anybody that sort of particularly inspires you with your own work?
Well, funny enough, I met one of my heroes not so long ago. I've always admired people like John Pilger, who's kind of, you know, kept angry, kept writing over the years, and for kind of journalists of my generation is one of the kind of people you focus on. And one of the people interested in who got me into it was a photographer. This guy called Don McCullen, who at the University of Gloucester gave an honorary degree just before Christmas, and he's in his 70s. He's covered you know, all the kind of trouble spots. He's kind of known, I think, for the government refused to give him media accreditation to cover the Falklands War because of fear of what photos he would come back with, because he's absolutely stunning photographer. And I'm not a very good photographer. I just take happy snaps. But he was, you know, when I as I was kind of in my late teens and 20s, he was, you know, one of the big names, and real kind of inspired me to want to do the job. And when they gave him an honorary degree, it was the same day as they gave him to Simon Pegg, the actor, who's a Gloucester boy. And so he said, do you want to meet Simon Pegg? I said, yeah, maybe, but I want to meet Don McCullen. So I was kind of donating until I got introduced to him. It was one of these cases where you were really glad to meet one of your heroes, because he was very gracious and just very nice to talk to. I tried not to babble too much to him and say, you made me want to be a journalist, even though I'm a lousy photographer. And it was interesting. He said, he'd met interesting people who kind of said they'd... he met a woman who was determined to be a nurse because she'd seen some of the horrifying photos from Africa that he'd brought back. So it seems odd for a journalist to name a photographer, but he was really, you know, there's books of his work out, and they're absolutely fabulous. He's done ones about... he lives in Somerset now. These beautiful, beautiful kind of Somerset levels, which seem quite unlike the very stark war ones. But he's just a very talented guy, and it was just fabulous to meet him.
And what are your ambitions, do you think? You've already achieved a lot, I can tell. What do you want to achieve?
I suppose, I'm very happy. I'm kind of, you know, really enjoying sort of, you know, writing, writing books. That's been a great discipline to do. I'm really happy to have done that. And, I've got involved in several sort of research projects through work, which are great. So I'm just, and at the moment I feel very focused on thinking, okay, you've got a PhD, focus on that. So... you know, I think it's just, you know, keep writing, keep doing as much stuff as I can physically fit into my life.
And any closing words, any sort of anything else that you'd like to add before you go and stand on the plinth?
Just that I'm really pleased to have been chosen. I'm just, you know, very, very, you know, thrilled when my name came up and sort of screamed and went, woo! I'd actually forgotten for a while. I'd entered and a friend of mine's husband had been drawn out. They live in Newcastle, but he couldn't take part because he couldn't swing the time off work, and so he was obviously heartbroken. I said, oh, I entered, I bet I don't get a place, I'll never win anything. And then 2 days later got the email, so just very excited about it, and just think it's a fabulous chance for, you know, people to get involved in a great idea.
Thank you very much.
No problem, thank you.